The first class that we have is we describe the mantras, how to taste bhakti ras and mantra bhava sadhana. So we're discussing a book by Kunja Bihari Das Babaji, who describes many of these topics. So this topic he's describing is the mantras service spirit, their seva bhava, their mood and sentiment to love and serve Krishna and Radharani. And these following two verses from Priti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, Jiva indicates the ultimate object of seva in the spirit of Chaitanya, which is the service of Sri Radha as her manji or kinkari or dasi. Now he has a verse here from Priti Sandarbha. The girlfriends of Srimati Radharani carefully nurture the desire tree of Radha and Krishna's jubilant pastimes in Vrindavan in constant expectation of seeing the beautiful flowers and fruits. They watch this desire tree grow and develop. When those flowers and fruits appear, they are the ones to relish them. May that tree by its unparalleled beauty give pleasure to us. So it's just giving a metaphor, comparing the love of Radha and Krishna to a growing and blossoming tree. And the manjis and sakis are helping that tree of love grow and develop. They also get to taste the sweet fruits produced by that tree. So now the author analyzes this verse from Priti Sandarbha to show the different elements or components that are contained in this description, which produce ras, which is a sensational experience of joy in the heart. So first he says this permanent loving emotion between the devotee and Radha and Krishna is called sthayi bhava. This is particular flavor of amorous love called tad bhava chatmika, which means that one is assisting and serving the love of the leading lady. In other words, kinkris or dasis are a servant of the queen. The queen of love is Radharani. And her kinkris or dasis, they serve Radharani. By serving her, they get to experience the happiness of her heart, the bhava, and their desire is to assist Radharani in her enjoyment with Krishna. And when this, so the vibhavas or the causing factors are the objects of love, Radha Madhav, and the receptacles of that love, which are the sakis and manjris. And the instigator, the stimulus or excitant to love is the land of Vrindavan itself. So this land of Vrindavan, which we're all sitting in right now today, is an inspires the love in the heart of devotees of Krishna, and especially of Radharani and Krishna's heart. This is called Prem Dham Vrindavan. Dham means a place. This is a place where love is everywhere. Love is in the trees. Love is in the sky. Love is in the plants. Love is in the earth. Love is in the water. Love is in the hearts and eyes of the devotees that live here. So one is a humble seeker of love, of transcendental divine love. He or she will be fulfilled by visiting Vrindavan and staying in Vrindavan. So when these are called a vibhav. Vibhav means the special objects of sentiment. Bhav means love, sentiments, emotions. So V means Vishesh, special. So it means the lover and the beloved, basically. So in this case, it's an amorous beloved and amorous lover. Radharani is the beloved and Krishna is the lover. And the sakis and kinkris, dasis, are all assistants and servants of that love. And how they, when this loving center in the heart is stimulated by the land of Vrindavan, then there's some bhavas or feelings that follow that that permanent loving mood, that's called Anubhav. Anubhav means follow. So, and then he says ecstatic symptoms are sattvic bhavas. They're indicated by the word joy and tears and trembling, etc. This is all analysis of what we experience when we see movies or drama. We feel humor, we feel pathos, we feel joy, we feel anger, we feel so many different emotions in exchanges between people in the movie or in the drama play. So Krishna's Leela is called Leela, which means a drama or a play with Krishna's loving devotees in Vrindavan. So they experience the whole kaleidoscope of different feelings and emotions. And now the author explains the reasons that Krishna came to this world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 500 years ago, Krishna came, appeared in Bengal, in a place called Navadvip. In a golden form, he's Krishna, but he's in the mood, he's in the bhava of Radharani. He's in the bhava. He has Radharani's love in his heart. He wants to taste and experience Radharani's love. He has Radharani's golden color. But he's actually Krishna in disguise, so to speak. It's a special form of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, Prabhu means Rasaraj, Rasaraj Prabhu Sri Krishna, and Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu means the Mahabhava of Radharani, the great ecstatic divine love of Radharani is in the heart of Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya. So Krishna came to fulfill three desires. Krishna had three desires in Vrindavan. He wanted to understand Radha Pranaya Mahima. He wanted to understand the great love. What is this great love that Radharani has for me? I understand the love I have for her, but I don't understand the love she has for me. That's a big problem. In relationships. One guy or the girl knows she's understanding. They know how much they love the other party, but they can't gauge or figure out or understand how much the other person loves them. So they get a lot of problems with the misunderstanding due to a lack of communication, a lack of sensitivity, and a lack of aesthetics, loving aesthetics, experience, and loving dealings. So a lot of heartbreaks in those type of relationships. So Krishna doesn't want to end up like that with Radharani, so he wants to understand her love. He doesn't want to get divorced from Radharani. Of course, they're not married, so they don't have to worry about it. It's not a live-in relationship either. They live separately, they meet when they want to meet, and they don't meet when they don't want to meet. Basically, Krishna wants to meet all the time, but Radharani plays hard to get and pretends to be angry and jealous and all these things. So it makes it more exciting to catch your hand for Krishna. So one reason Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, to understand Radharani's love, and also to appreciate the sweetness of Radharani's heart, to taste and experience the sweetness. And the third reason is that what happiness does Radharani experience in serving me, in loving me and serving me and pleasing me? What does she feel? I know what I feel on the receiving end of all her love. What happiness is she feeling in this exchange of love? He wants to understand that. So this all together, all these desires that Krishna had, they concluded in Krishna's relishing the spirit of service to Radharani as one of her dasis, as manjaris, and distribute these moods of love to the world. So in this form, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Chaitanya, is the only shelter of the most fallen souls of Kali Yuga. That's us. We're in bad shape. But the good thing is we can channel Hare Krishna and pray, worship Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna. This is the introductory verse, Mangal Charan verse from Govinda Lilamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj. He says, the loving service of Krishna is dearer to Radharani than life. The Radharani's service to Krishna is dearer to her than her own life. And this intensity of Radharani's love is incomprehensible and unattainable by Shiva, by Ananta, by Brahma, or even Lakshmi Devi. What to speak of other devis and devatas? Only those devotees who are completely attached to Krishna's Brajlila with excessive eagerness are able to enter the mysteries of this loving mood of Radharani. A commentator on this verse, who's Radha Krishna Goswami, he said, this Madhurya Bhakti Ras, this amorous mood of bhakti, amorous lover and beloved mood, is unknown to the great devas and devis. Two statements from Bhagavatam are particularly important in this regard. The wives of Kaliya prayed in Bhagavatam that Lakshmi Devi, the wife of Vishnu, performed austerities for 100,000 years in Bilbavan. 100,000 years, that's a lot of tapasya. Bilbavan is in Vrindavan. But she could not attain a direct association or the bodily touch of Krishna. Uddhava says, the great fortune of the gopis of getting Krishna put his hand around their necks and dance in the rasa dance was never attained by any other lady in the whole universe, not even Lakshmi. Although Lakshmi is worshipable by Brahma and Shiva and all the devatas, she herself is unable to enter the mysteries of Radha and Krishna's amorous love. The dust of the gopis' feet is difficult for Brahma and other devas to attain. Brahma, Lord Brahma, or Bhagavan Brahma, admits to Bhrigu and Brihad Vamana Puran that he himself performed austerities for 60,000 years to get the dust of the gopis, but he couldn't get it. So all these great devas and devis can't even get the dust of the feet of Radha Krishna. What's the chance for us? That's a good question. What's the answer? The answer is, only those devotees who are completely attached to Krishna's Brajlila with eagerness are able to enter into. In other words, those devotees who are dedicated to hear and chant the form and qualities and pastimes of the gopis with Radha and Krishna, and who are ardently seeking to attain this type of devotional love by following the footsteps of gopis, will be blessed with this achievement. That's the problem with Lakshmi and Brahma and Shiva. They didn't want to follow the gopis. They wanted to be gopis, but they didn't want to follow them. They said, we want to be gopis, you know, let us enter the rasa dance. And then everyone told him, you have to become a gopi, you have to have a gopi bhava, you have to surrender to a gopi and serve a gopi. Ah, oh, why should I do that? I'm Lakshmi. I'm Shiva, I'm Brahma. Okay, get lost. So the devotees who follow Lord Chaitanya, they don't mind surrendering to gopis. Rupa and Raghunath are the gopis we follow. Rupa Manjari and Tulsi Manjari, Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari. We surrender to them and worship them and follow them. And by their blessings and mercy, we'll attain the service of Radha Krishna Vrindavan. So this is this next chapter is chapter 9. It's describing what is in English is defined as divine rapture, which is the translation of rasa, R-A-S-A, rasa. How is this experienced? One can experience rasa by identification, by identifying with the body, the mind, the heart, the actions, the feelings of characters in a drama or in a sacred book, like Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, etc. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that praying for Krishna is nitya siddha, is eternally perfect, and strictly speaking, you cannot obtain praying through any sadhana. However, it manifests in a heart which has been purified by shravanam and kirtanam. So Krishna prema exists in the hearts of his associates who are eternally in the spiritual world. So by following them and reading about them and praying to them, we get their attention. And when they get their attention, and then they feel we're qualified to receive their mercy, then they'll instill their love in our hearts. They'll give their love to place in our hearts. That's the only way we can get prema. It's a gift. It descends from them to their hearts to our hearts. The love of these ideal devotees for Krishna is passionate. It's called Radgadvinka Bhakti, Nitya Siddha Associates, because the word raga means passion, but not passion like material passion. It's a transcendental enthusiasm, which is only parallel to enthusiasm is passion. They're passionate about Krishna. They'll do anything and everything to please Krishna, without any consideration of their own pleasure, their own benefit, their own profit. Totally selfless love. Those who model themselves after these eternal associates and devotees of Krishna are influenced by their spirit, by their bhava, and they imitate and follow them by body, word, and mind. Sanatana Goswami states, the devotee is in the process of becoming. So we're practicing to become premi bhaktas by following the premi bhaktas. So it takes one to make one. So if you're an expert artist, you can maybe train someone to become an expert artist. So these are the expert lovers of Krishna, so they can give their love to us and make us expert lovers of Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami in Bhaktivinoda Sinha, he quotes Bilva Mangala Thakur as a sadhaka, which is an aspirant for Ras in Madhurya Ras. He gives him as an example of the mood of separation. The practicing devotee, which is called sadhaka, through the process of identification, similarly will experience these aspects of erotic sacred rapture, erotic madhurya ras, upon hearing or reading books which describe Radha's loving dealings with Krishna. These books are very powerful. Because these books, the authors of these books are all premium bhaktas. Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they wrote these books, Tavali and Savamala, Bhaktirasmita Sinha Ujjalilamani, etc. And so when you read the books by loving devotees, the love that they're describing and displaying in their books comes into the serious and surrendered sadhaka. Generalization, right? I mean, generalization, in other words, mixing your emotions with the emotions of someone else. It's called identification, self-identification. It's explained in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. The experience of Madhurya Ras is extremely difficult to understand because it's transcendental. It has no representative in this material world. But fortunately, the emotions of these eternal associates of Krishna manifest through the process of identification or equalization, called Sadharana Rata. The Acharyas describe in the course of watching a play or hearing a literary work or reading to ascertain the sadhaka makes his emotions one with those of the lover or beloved. Vishwanacharya writes a comment on this verse from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. He said, once there was a drama, a play called Ramayana, and a devotee in the audience was listening to the story of how Hanuman, the monkey, jumped over the Indian Ocean to Sri Lanka. That devotee in the audience became so absorbed and equalized and one with the mood of Hanuman that he gave up all shyness and fear and made a big leap in the middle of the audience. He jumped into the audience like he was Hanuman jumping across the ocean. Another time, another drama, an actor who was playing a role of Ram's father, Dasarath, fell his mood. Because Ramachandra's stepmother, Kaikeyi, she was supposed to be coronated the king of Ayodhya, and she wanted her son Bharat to be the king. So she gave a command to Ram, he had to leave the kingdom and go to the forest for 13 years. 14 years. And so when Dasarath, the father of Ram, heard this, that his one of his wives, Kaikeyi, banished the Yuvaraj, the prince Ram, to the forest, he died. He was so overwhelmed with unhappiness. His favorite son, I mean his leading son Ramchandra, could not be a king. He died on the spot. So somebody was in an audience was watching his drama. He was so much identifying with Dasarath in the drama that when Dasarath, the actor, died on the stage in acting, the person in the audience died. He had a heart attack. That's called equalization to the max. Yeah. You didn't have to go that far. Zastra, the guy was acting, he didn't die, but he pretended to die. But the audience, he got so much into it, he really died. D-E-A-D-O-D, D-O-A, dead on arrival. That's right in the hospital. When they make a medical report, they write D-O-A. That's serious. Means dead on arrival. Some gunner's getting a shootout, boom, boom, boom. And they bring the guy by ambulance, and they bring him in, he's dead, and they make, they file a report that he's dead. D-O-A, dead on arrival. So he dead on the scene, dead in the audience. But it's not that funny. But it showed as an example of being one with the audience, being one with the actors. So what's the point of being conveyed here? The point being conveyed is Ross, even a drama performed by mature actors and actresses, by witnessing that drama, it has so much emotional impact and effect on your heart and mind, you can give up your body. It's showing the power of transfer of emotions from one person to another. So that's, and now this is just one material actors and actresses enacting the drama Ramayana. So imagine reading about the transcendental pastimes of Radha Krishna, written by Sakis and Manjaris, them directly witnessed and took part in those pastimes. How much power those books have to elevate our heart and transform our heart. That's what the point he's trying to make. So the present-day sadhakas, practicing devotees, can become so absorbed in the emotional state of the ideal devotee they're following, like Tulsi Mandri, that in their profound meditation, they will perform the same extraordinary acts as the ideal devotee whom they're worshiping, reading about. That's what our sadhana is all about. So one may question, is this feeling I'm experiencing, is this my feeling or is this Tulsi Mandri's feeling? Is it mine or not? So while relishing the various ingredients of sacred rapture, the stairati, the vibhav, anubhav, sadhikbhav, sancharibhav, etc., it's impossible to make such distinctions. When it comes to relishing ras, the various elements which combine together to create that experience have an inconceivable power which causes that ras to manifest in the same way in both the original devotee and the present-day follower. So the emotion that manifests in Tulsi Mandri's heart in a particular lila you're reading about in Vyakuswandri or in Krishna Bhavanamrita or Krishna Govindamrita, that emotion that Tulsi or Rupa are feeling, if you're identifying, equalizing your heart with their emotion and praying for their mercy, that will manifest directly in your heart in the same way. When the present-day sadhaka hears about the activities of his or her ideal role model in Krishna, their sense of identity will be so strong they'll lose the sense that the emotional experience by the ideal devotee is not their own. In other words, one is not able to say what is theirs and what is not. Is this Tulsi's feeling or my feeling? One can't say that. There's a oneness in feeling, oneness in heart, oneness in experience. That's on the high end of bhakti. That type of experience will happen. Some reflection of that will happen any time. But the genuine experience of that will happen at the level of Bhava Bhakti. So it's not so easy as it sounds. Takes a while. I don't know where these are from. It says the following two verses show how a devotee should cultivate this equalization of emotions. Do not, I don't know, some kind of quotation here. This is describing how to do something, how to cultivate this equalization of feelings, emotions, the equalization of the wrath in the heart of a mantri with your own heart. Do not look outside yourself at any time until your mind is filled with love. For one who has only love's reflection will not see. For one who has not, it's some kind of fancy poetic expression it's trying to make here in English, which isn't very clear. For one who doesn't possess love's reflection will not see the divine object of love in everything existing. In constant contemplation of the mood of the great through absorption, all of this world is forgotten. Within and without, at this point, become one. And like the great souls, then one will taste ras. In other words, basically, what it's saying in some kind of poetic roundabout way, the kingdom of God is within you. And we have to withdraw, in yoga it's called pratyahara, withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. We have to withdraw from this material world and focus all our attention and love and attachment in the inner world, in our heart, where Radha and Krishna live. And we have to develop love for them. Then when that mood of love is there, it will be reflected in everything and everything outside of ourselves also. So we're constantly contemplating the mood. The mood means the bhav, the gobi bhav, the madhurya bhav, the madhurya love, rupa manjari and tulsi manjari. We'll be so absorbed in that we'll forget everything else in this world. Our outside world and our inside world become one. We'll live in the world of Leela all the time. We'll see everything connected to Leela and we'll be in Leela. Then we'll experience Madhurya Ras. That's what he's saying. In this verse we quoted, looking means activities of the external senses, means outward looking. The mood of the great means, it's already explained, it means continually meditating on the mood of one's ideal devotee. When one loses oneself in that person, then the illusion of the absence of the divine object of love is eradicated. So when we lose ourselves, when we lose ourselves in identifying with Tulsi Manjari, then all of this will be with Radha and Krishna. For example, strictly speaking, Krishna is not in a tamal tree. But one who has attained this state of divine love sees the tall tree as Krishna himself. If that does not happen, then one does not have love's reflection. You see a black tree, you see a tree with black bark, you say, that's a tall tree. And Radharani says, no, it's Krishna. So we don't have that love, Radharani has the love. We only have a reflection of it. one cannot achieve the same result by forcing oneself to see Krishna's truth. You can't fake it. They sometimes say in the modern world, fake it till you make it. That's a lot going on. fake it till you make it. I don't know how you say it. It doesn't work in Russian. Pretend you're something you aren't, basically. And hoping you'll become something. Hoping you'll make it. If you don't make it, you just stay fake. Therefore, one should maintain a contemplative internalized attitude, abandoning external sense activity. One should constantly follow great persons like Rupa Raghunath Das in his physical activities by reading and internalizing their books and meditating on them. Until one gets to the point whereby so doing one forgets the entire world, even including one's own body, one should remain careful with regards to the dangers of sense gratification. One who contemplates on Krishna Lila in a mood of Rishvasi will attain a spiritual body suitable to that bhav and the association of Krishna Vrindavan. That's the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we'll continue from there next week.